Can you give us some practical tips for emotional eating or for eating in general?
All right. Whiz through this. So here's some practical tips for dealing with the more negative aspects of emotional eating. And just as a precursor, know that it takes time to do some of this stuff, okay? But I'm just going to give you a brief idea. One of the first things I'll work with clients is keeping their blood sugar stable. Now, how do you do that? So you don't go through all the mood swings and get triggered into binging. So it helps to space meals every 4 hours, meals or snacks, preferably with some protein in them. It's kind of like if you want to cross a river, you're going to space the stones evenly, right? So you don't slip and fall. Okay, and then you want to learn how to identify your triggers. What triggers? There are two kinds of triggers. There's physical and emotional. Physical triggers are the foods that put you in that can't stop mode, where you just want more, more, more. You could just eat the whole thing, right? And it's worthwhile getting a nutritional evaluation, because often the foods we crave the most are actually foods that we're allergic to. So it's useful to know what are your trigger foods, what puts you in that can't stop mode. Then the emotional triggers are a little bit more tricky. During the holiday season, I run a food family holidays group for women. It's a support group. Because Christmas and Thanksgiving is just fertile grounds for emotional eating, let's say. Just family and the stress and all that food. And so what we'll do is we'll track what happened just before you started to obsess about the box of chocolates, or you wanted to eat the whole pie. Was it the way mom looked at you or dad spoke to you? Or what exactly? And some of the women will keep a mood food log, so where they track the correlation between when they're eating and their moods. That's a whole nother subject. I don't want to get into too much detail there. Then we'll also work on creating what I call the top 10 soother list. Other ways to self-soothe, back to the baby thing from the beginning, that wanting to self-soothe by putting something in your mouth. Is there other ways to self-soothe? Yes, you can still reach for the box of chocolates, but do you have other options? So we'll create a list. Taking the dog for a walk, taking a bath, anything that really brings you back to your body. Things that feel sensually, like things that smell nice and music you like, things that are going to be soothing and comforting to your body. So, you know, the women will go armed with their top 10 soother lists back to their families. And, you know, it helps. It all helps. Then it's good to figure out, when you are hungry, is it a mouth hunger or is it a stomach hunger? I.e., is it a physical need or an emotional need? If it's an emotional need, is there another way to get that need met? Maybe not. Maybe you still want to hit the cake. But is there? It's good to just figure out, okay, maybe I have another option here. If it's a physical need, then I'll really encourage my clients to get really specific. What do you want to eat? What shape? What color? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it crunchy? Is it liquid? Is it sweet? Is it sour? It's part of starting to listen to your body again. Part of tuning back in. A lot of the women will be worried at this point that all they're going to want to do is eat junk food. And, you know, yeah, you're going to have those days when you want to eat chocolate. Well, then make a real experience of it. Really enjoy it, savor it, sit down, unwrap the chocolate, smell it, let it melt on your tongue. Like, really make an experience of it. In the book Intuitive Eating by Tribot and Reck, they advocate making all activities pertaining to food pleasurable ones. That by making eating a full sensory experience, you'll enjoy more and eat less. So bringing pleasure back. And usually if the body if you're feeding yourself in a loving way, your body's going to gravitate more towards what's going to make it feel good. But to get outside of this kind of rigid idea about good and bad foods, that black and white thinking, I don't know about you all, but if someone told me I could never eat broccoli again, I'd probably become pretty obsessed with it. So, you know, just to sort of open it up a bit. And then appreciate your body. Bodies are like children. They respond better to positive reinforcement. A lot of chronic dieters will feel like their bodies work against them. So it helps to find one thing you appreciate about your body, however small, to start reversing this trend. I had a client who started with her fingernails. It was the beginning. Then find an exercise you enjoy. If you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do it, right? Pleasure is a great motivator. Children know this. Shame and shoulds don't work half as well as pleasure. So really finding something you enjoy. So many people through dieting and body hatred have lost this connection to themselves. What brings them pleasure? What brings them joy? We don't realize that in trying to control the body and suppress our appetites, we also numb our capacity to enjoy the moment. Tapping into pleasure as a motivator is very powerful. It's part of coming back to your body, your soul container, and reconnecting to your appetite for life.